Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show here on Blog Talk Radio. I was waiting for AC to call in. Seems to be a little bit delayed, but it's cool. It's cool. I hope everybody's dealing with the heat. Personally, I kind of like it hot, but can't get too damn dangerous. And I really think it's something we should look at a little bit. You know, we listen to all these scientists and all this other stuff. I want to see some more people stand up and say something about this whole thing, the global warming or heating of the earth, whatever you want to call it. Something is happening. But I think that a lot of the greed is setting in the is blinding a lot of these people. So they don't even go ahead and listen to the research or the science or what some others are saying, but keep shutting down that dialogue right away. Scorching the earth is, like these people seem to be involved in, is just another form of showing me that, hey, they don't really care what's going on. It's getting people to go ahead and do a lot of crazy stuff here and abroad. Of course, I live in Chicago. You know, I always got to go ahead and see that, hey, more people got shot here. Like, man, it ain't even nighttime yet, and 12 people got shot. Man, that's crazy. Causes us to do a bunch of crazy stuff, maybe. Being unemployed, I think that has a lot to do with it. I also saw something elsewhere. I just hear we're struggling. Just reinforced that we're struggling all across the planet. 43 Ethiopians and Somalians suffocated in the truck trying to get into Tanzania. Trying to get through the horror part, I started looking at what would make them leave from up there, come to Tanzania. And I see that Tanzania's economy is doing great. Doing really well. So a place like Tanzania, why aren't they spreading that information around, trying to help others over there? And who's doing that over here? What area here where black people are prospering, doing better, so we don't have to go ahead, so I don't have to see another headline, 12 more people shot, killed, shot, just shot. And finish reading through it and talk, to see how many people got killed. That's enough. I just hear a whole lot of silence from a lot of individuals. One of the groups that was trying to do something here, a group called Ceasefire, I've done a couple of things with a few guys that work with Ceasefire. The type of group that's supposed to be, you know, getting in the street, getting the young people, getting people jobs, mostly people who are gangbanging and stuff like that. You know, and they reached a lot of people. So I watched them, they did some good. But recently, they got a large grant from the Chicago Police. I'm not understanding that part. Some things you shouldn't be taking. I'm just saying, where are the morals in this situation? I mean, some of these young people, they have problems with the law, is because the law is the problem. And some of the people who work at Ceasefire are also ex-felons. It's game bangers, blah, 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 blah. Problem with the system. I don't see why you would take that money. I couldn't. We need to get tougher a little bit more hard and be like, okay, you know, just like in America, some white people won't vote for Obama because they say, hey, I just can't vote for that. I can't vote for him. And then you come, then you get those others, they'll tell you, hey, look, no, we just can't vote for the black man. No amount of blood. No, you just can't vote for the black man. We need to adopt that mentality. We're going to do this because we're going to do it for ourselves. Oh, what? I worry someone like that. Yeah, the Willie Lynch thing is still there. That mindset is, it ain't going away for a long time. It's just nuts out here, man. I was going over some other headlines. I was looking at this political situation a little bit. Try not to because it makes my stomach boil. Just can't fathom a lot of this. But this dude, this local guy here, this Joe Walsh, this is what make me go crazy with these cowardly people. This lady, Joe Walsh is talking stuff about Tammy Duckworth, saying she's not a true veteran and all this other stuff. But regardless, she joined. She went in. She got her legs blown off and I think her right arm or left arm is messed up, too. This cop is going to go ahead and sit back and criticize her. See, the political situation here really makes me sick because I don't understand why, you know, she had more heart than you did, man. Regardless of whether the mission was right or wrong, she had more heart to go ahead and go join more than this guy did. But these guys are supposed to be patriots. They love their country. They love their country. They love their country so much they want to go ahead and put somebody else out there. Go ahead and absorb the bullets. Shock absorbers. Man. It's sad, man. Let me see if my girl's, man. Let me play a quick track right fast. I had really planned on talking about a bunch of other things.
Yo, Jazzy Faye. K-Fay. Death Squad. Noon Time.
With the top down, chilling. Got out of my whip, not tripping. Baby walked up to me. Tightest thing you ever wanna see.
Shouted, looking kinda right. Satisfy my appetite.
Baby, you know my steelo. I gotta get with you on the deal-o. I came in the dope. Nothing personal, baby. Tryna be shady. That's just the way it goes. I came in the dope pimping.
Handling strictly business.
Nothing personal, baby. Tryna be shady. That's just the way it goes. Now I'm not trying to be on my own dick, but I fell off in the club looking so slick. Was looking for something nice and chocolate. Didn't want to have to come up out my pocket.
Shouties in here kind of right. Satisfy my appetite, yeah.
But they know my steelo. Gotta get with them on a deal-o.
Let's kick it. We just ain't like that.
I'ma still get my pimp on. I came in the door pimping,
handling strictly business,
nothing personal, baby. Tryna be shady, that's just the way it goes. I came in the door pimping,
handling strictly business.
Well, nothing personal, baby. Trying to be shady, that's just the way it goes.
Yeah, that's right, pimping hoes. Two short babies slamming Cadillac doors. I've been a Mac half my life. If I wanna have your wife, it won't take me too much. I'm gonna make it last all night. When you're dealing with my type, don't get caught up in the hype. I be taking all your bitch money and you know that just ain't right. Cause you brought her to the club, but you didn't leave with her. Trying to figure how a player like Show Dog could get her. Somebody had to do it. She didn't really love you. Another pimp got your hoe and you don't know what to do.
I came in the door pimping, nothing personal, baby. Trying to be shady, that's just the way it goes. Came in the door pimping,
handling strictly business.
Said it's nothing personal, baby. Trying to be shady, that's just the way it goes. Yeah, I got to handle my business. I came in the door pimping, yeah. I got to handle my business, y'all, yeah.
Handling strictly business.
Just if they came through the door.
Handling strictly business.
I came in the door pimping.
Hello. Okay. That was my fault. I muted myself. I was talking to the walls. I was actually trying to get old boy on the phone, so yeah, that so yeah, there was some of the things that was bothering me. So calling number is 626-226-1479. Call in, let me know your thoughts, your views on some of these issues going on today. I always just like to have a conversation. Just talk about it. Hopefully it can lead to some bigger forum so we go ahead and work out a solution for that particular idea. But just talk about it. Let me know how you feel. I don't shut you down. I don't. I let you go at it. Say your piece. As long as you ain't too disrespectful, though. Man, I hope y'all didn't hear that. Independence Day tomorrow, they just, the fireworks sound like they popping off rounds right outside my window. Anyway, back to my little thing about the deal with some headline news here. Kind of threw me off with this dude not calling in. I had a bunch of issues for him to deal with, specifically for him. So, this is kind of interesting. Mitt Romney to visit Israel over the summer. I never understood why these guys running for president. Well, going to Israel, you got a lot of people over in Israel that are U.S. citizens, but what are you doing going over there? That's just another way to get cash. Yeah. trip to Israel would be designed to part help Romney build support among the Jewish voters and evangelical voters and conservatives. Ooh, that's nuts. Oh, that just seemed like a money trip to me. Need to get into politics a little bit more. There's a lot of cash being passed around. I think I can go ahead and be a good swindler. Shit, they do it. They lie and get away with it. What the hell can I do it? Ain't nothing wrong with me going ahead and doing it. We all should go ahead and take part in it, I guess. Not paying attention to this stuff that's out here. I'm going to jet back over here to this Tanzania thing here. I was looking at some. Ooh-wee. Man, you get a chance, go to Tanzania. Images. Look at what's happening over there at the waterways, huh? Got like a beach or something? During the Republican presidential primary, Romney accused President Barack Obama of throwing Israel, in his words, under the bus. Romney has said his policy toward the Jewish state would be the opposite of Obama's. You know, this is something that kills me. It brings this to mind. All the support and they're trying to get from Israel and all this other stuff and all that money they give Israel. That's just surface money. Is Israel giving more money under the table, giving more money back? Who's really robbing who? Who's really robbing who in this situation, man? I had something once where I had a list. Oh, man, I wish I had got that. Now that I think about it, about the support the U.S. is giving Israel, and it was amazing how for years all of the earliest weapons were coming almost exclusively from the U.S. All of that support. You know, I kind of see Israel sometimes as like a kid with a. Just won't shut the hell up. And every now and then the other kids want to slap on them. So Israel always screams out that they're victims. I got a clip of that. How they use that, anti-Semite and Holocaust stuff as a scare tactic. Yeah, they use that as some way to get sympathy and all this other stuff. Oh, yeah, here it is. Yeah, here it is. Yeah, get a chance. I'm going to put this video in this chat room, man. I get a chance. Y'all look at that video. That blows open the argument. It's some Ron Paul thing saying or something in there, but it's a lady in there talking too. And there was another one. Find that other one with that lady. I can't remember what her name was, but she lit that argument up, and she was a Jew. Yeah, this is it. Yeah, this is it right here. Man, you got to see this one there. Yeah, you know, when they go here with that anti-Semite stuff and all that, you know, stuff, she said, that's a trick. That's to mess your mind up. So when this cat be running around here blog talk, I said his name, Benjamin Salomons, you know, throwing out his crazy words and stuff. Oh, yeah. No, that's the kind of guys we need to go ahead and deal with this kind of video. Brother Fianchi says, I'm looking for a black milk farmer, 500 plus heads. You know what, Brother Fianchi? I'm going to have to call you about that, because I know a brother in Memphis who just retired from the police from the fire department here. That's all he kept bragging on was how much cattle we got, how much cattle we got there. So, and some of us out here doing that. It's a good thing. All right, let me take a quick break right fast while I still try to find this cat here, man.
Look at you now. Hey, do you have anything on you? Hey, do you have anything on you? Hey, do you have anything on you? Hey, do you have anything on you?
Change that.
I don't see it. Wow. Well, I ain't gonna go check that out anyway. I don't think I wanna go back over there. I ain't like it over there anyway. Changing that clock tower. Kinda sad. Another way that they, I think they're just trying to wipe us out and exclude us from stuff, you know. That way to do that thing with history thing. Constantly excluding them from history, so. Wow. I don't see nothing but doom and gloom today. Cat, man, they're going nuts on the continent. I saw a video the other day where a woman and a man beat up this African. Yeah, they've been doing that for a long time, brother. Yeah, they've been throwing that gasoline on folks, letting them run through the streets like that for a minute. It's a sad thing. I think they do it for, infidelity or something. I think that, you know, if they do a man and a woman, something like that. I don't know. Call the number is 626-226-1479. Call in. Let's have a conversation. Otherwise, I'm going to dry out my mouth, bumping my gums about stuff that's really making me mad, but not making no sense. Y'all don't want me to do that. Take a quick break while I try to locate this guy one more time.
London.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob. You're at Blog Talk Radio. We were supposed to have a conversation with AC, but AC got a little tied up, which kind of threw me off my format just a little bit. But, hey, still can do this. Brother Pianchi, I wanted to call in real quick so you can explain that, because I was talking about them changing the Big Ben clock to the Elizabeth Tower. Brother Bianchi said that that's a ghetto myth. So, let me, I want to see that. I want you to call in and elaborate on that. So, some more highlights, man. Check this one out, man. This brother supposedly had stole some potatoes. They're going to beat him and burn him. think that that's a little harsh treatment. See, I'm still having problems trying to go in. I wouldn't beat nobody. I don't know. I don't think I could do all that. That's a little extreme. Oh, man. Oh, yeah, that is nasty. Bees burned alive with stealing potatoes. Our people are hungry now. They douse them with gasoline and burn them up. Shit. That's crazy. No damn way. I mean, shit. Better have money. I saw this thing where they're going to be locking people up. It's getting a little bit more frequent to lock people up if you can't pay your bills here. And someone was saying that that the courts are cash-strapped. So now they need to make money, so they want to go ahead and accept these cases where they can throw you in jail for not paying your bills. If you're late on your light bill, you probably go to jail for 60 days. The hell out of here, man. Oh, man. Late on your light bill, you go to jail. How you going to pay the damn bill? That's the same. That's almost as stupid as this thing. In some jobs, I can kind of understand this, but some other stuff, it just don't make sense. It's enough for me. I don't understand some of the drug testing stuff. I think that's crap. So it's some people that need to be tested. They ain't being tested, especially if you come into some jobs, even going into management, they don't want to let you. They won't drug test you. I don't know if the people in Congress go ahead and drug test you. They need to get drug tested, all of them. All of them high. But I don't understand what you send the thing. If you're applying for a job, and they go ahead and got to do a credit check on you. Especially if you ain't even handling money. That don't make no sense. You done lost me on that, man. I didn't want to look at that video, man. That video made me mad. That is just outrageous. I saw some of it. Let's read the story on how these people are. Oh, wait. Oh, man. People finally. Man, this leaves you speechless here, boy. How do you deal with this, man? I'm always looking for solutions way out. Let me know how you get out of this. Oh, man. Ain't no way. Ain't no damn way. Oh, man, let me take another break, man. welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. That's your host, Chef Rob, man. I'm still dealing with that video that people got burned up, man. That is crazy. Ah. Brother just posted something in the chat room. Traces of poison elements, polonium, have been found in the belongings of the late Palestinian president Yasser Arafat. Found in his belongings. A Swiss institute said on Wednesday, and a television report has his widow had demanded his body be exhumed for further test. I kind of felt it poisoned. It went kind of quick. Arafat died in a hospital in France in 2004. After a sudden illness which baffled doctors. Many Palestinians had long suspected he was poisoned. Darcy Christian, spokesman of the Institute of the some crazy stuff in Switzerland, told Reuters on Tuesday that he had found a surprising high levels of polonium. That's what I'm saying, right? Polonium 2010 in Arafat's body. Hey, ain't that the same? I think I've seen that somewhere. I think I've seen that the way the Russians were using that at one time. The Russians were doing that at one time. I think the Russians, what did they do? They put it on the tip. They had it like an umbrella, right? And they had these little BBs, little balls. They had holes in them. But they soaked that stuff in there, and they would walk up behind people and shoot it right into them. That was crazy. Brother Pianki, your line is open. How you doing?
Yeah, I was one of Russia's politicians that was running against Putin.
Right,
but
you
he survived.
That,
his face was disfigured. His skin was with that
right,
strange.
They had a habit of doing that, of going ahead and poisoning people with that method, with the same almost that same drug. Arafat guy, and then that other guy who died in the hospital too. That I know the one you're talking about.
They use them ice darts, man. They made out of ice. And when they shoot you with them, they dissolve and evaporate. They leave no trace.
Yeah, I think they got away from that little ball trip, that little ball thing, because they were using that throughout Europe. It was a little bit bigger than a pinhead, but it had holes drilled in through it, and they soak it into that whatever that stuff is, and they would insert it into these umbrellas. These umbrellas were like high powered dart shooters or something like that, you know, like BB guns or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they were hitting people in, a lot of times they would hit people in traffic. They would hit them on like their thighs and stuff like that. You know, and then go ahead and say, oh, I'm sorry. You know, before you know it, people go ahead and hit their leg, but don't think about it. A little bit later, they got like a little mark there, and that stuff just eventually takes over their body. It was kind of slick how they did it, though.
Yeah, they come up with little crazy James Bond stuff, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you can't go ahead and put a lot of it down, though. Hey, it's a little bit of truth in art, don't you think?
Oh, hell yeah, it's truth in that. They wouldn't think of it to make it into a movie if they hadn't already probably done it. You'd be surprised, man. They got these little drones now about the size of a damn fly.
Right. Right.
But I always have said that's what black folks need to get involved in, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Right.
Need to be there with them.
But my thing is, I know we need to get involved in a lot of that stuff, but I think we always need to go ahead and look at funding. The more stuff we can put out there about funding, the better, don't you think?
Well, yeah, you need to have those type of R&D laboratories, schools, institutions that's designing advanced weaponry, designing this advanced technology, especially spy this, spy that. We need to be doing the very same thing. Now, some of those weapons that was used in the Gulf War, like those joystick controlled missiles that use that wire, you know, that might have been about 1,500 feet long. I understand some Ghanaian kid designed that.
Mm-hmm.
But hell, Asa Hill used to talk about the young black child, the boy that was in Chicago that designed a nuclear reactor on his living room floor back in the 50s, man, earlier than that.
Mm.
So, yeah, we need to be doing those things. There's a market for it, do it.
Okay, like, these conflicts they got all going on now, I really feel that, you know, some companies they want these things, these conflicts to go on so they can go ahead and test their weapon system.
Well, Monsanto bought Blackwater, or Z, as they're called now, I understand.
Oh, so you're using some of the chemical weapons with them now, huh?
Well, they're going to need policing when they try to impose their agriculture controls on, probably on countries.
What about the U.S.?
Well, the U.S. is going to start using drones that's going to be capable of firing so-called non-lethal armaments on its citizenry.
You don't think they're doing it now?
I don't think they're doing it now, but we would have heard about that. You know, drone firing bullets at your head.
But okay, they may be firing something. Who was that congressman that was complaining that, hey, look, the U.S. is sending drones in the cities?
Well, yeah, they're probably doing it.
So you don't know that's just only part of what they're telling you. They're not telling you exactly what the real reason is why the drones are flying over. You don't know what the cargo is or what they got.
Well, they're probably looking at one of these days when the citizenry becomes wise of what's going on, start protesting.
Who's going to be doing protests? These people ain't going to be doing no protests.
Whites will protest. Blacks won't.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Because I really think that, you know, with these drones flying overhead, there's a big possibility that they send a lot more stuff there, you know, dropping something on you.
Well, I don't think they're dropping anything on you no more. They done that stuff back in the day. You know, they even talked about that. Even in my city, they done that. Back in the late 50s and so forth. They was dropping chemicals and bacteria. They was spreading bacteria to see how it would show up at the airports as people checked in, trying to develop some sort of pattern on how it would be moved through society. But they have these crowd control measures now. And they probably will be implementing them when the time comes.
You know, one thing, this guy, when I came to the barbershop, and there was this dude was like 14 years old, and him and his friends was talking about it. I was sitting there listening to him. They was talking about all the FEMA body bags.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, all the FEMA body bags and get ready for the camps. These young boys are like 14, 15 years old. I was like, okay, well, that's, you know, at least thinking about it, you know, it's a possibility. So I feel maybe them camps and that body bags might be part of this new thing with these drones already flying over your head. So you don't think they restarted their program by dropping stuff from the sky?
Yeah, but what they going to drop stuff on people for? They already got folks doing what they want them to do.
Yeah, true. They ain't paying attention to it. Got totally lost and sidetracked by a whole lot of bright lights and glitter.
Well, it just stands to be seen. Like I said before, Black Americans ain't going to. It's going to be white folks that's going to have to make those type of moves.
So, Brother Pianchi, the next time you go to Ghana, man, is the fabric that's over there. I always like to get with you, talk to you about stuff that's going on over there. The fabric that's over there, the fabric that's being made over there, that would be easy to make over here?
Well, no, you want to make it over there. But that type of fabric that they make over there. Well, they make some fabric, but cotton and some. What are you talking about, mud cloth and that stuff like that?
Pretty much.
Yeah, ain't nobody going to wear that over here. Hell, you women walk around butt-ass naked.
Sometimes I kind of like it butt-ass naked, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't too much care for that myself. I think it's kind of disgraceful myself.
Okay, I get you. I always try to go ahead and I try to turn my head, but my head keep going back toward it. But it's cool.
And
I was looking at the alternative fuels here because the gas prices are going down. But they seem to be spiking and going back up. So I can't remember what company it was. It's some other little small companies going ahead selling these kits again to go ahead and convert your engine over. But I think it was like ExxonMobil or BP. They're trying to go ahead and put bills in the Congress where they can go ahead and up the standards or something like that, so it'll make it harder for these guys to put them tools in their cars, so you don't have to go ahead and get. So you don't have to go ahead and get the fossil-based fuels, and it's just almost the same thing as they were saying before people go ahead and they start making the hybrids in their electric car.
Well, I've seen them one time try to pass a law stating that for your first 10 years of your car's life, you have to go back to the dealer for parts rather than going to these automobile parts places like AutoZone and Rally's and, you know, places like that. But that never did go through, though. So it's a possibility they try to get you to, you know, especially after this court ruling with the Roberts, which I think was kind of ridiculous myself.
Why do you think it's ridiculous?
Because he should have just ruled on the one issue of mandate. He shouldn't have been coming in there with a butt and saying Congress had a right to tax you if you don't comply. That's crazy. I never would expect that out of a Republican pick jurors. That even surprised
them. What do you think, President?
That even surprised Clarence Thomas and them. Shit, he pulled one over them.
Oh, Clarence Thomas is like a ventriloquist dummy there. He But what do you think changed? What do you think got Roberts to change his mind?
No, Clarence Thomas is a pretty good jurist. Now, don't take that from him, because everybody that you read, anyone that comments on him, and you know, just on the merits of his you know, him being a jurist, they say he's a real good jurist.
Okay.
Now, everybody else is going to say things along other lines, which I think is kind of crazy. We look at things in the wrong fashion. But everybody's not the same. Some people have leanings toward conservative thought. Heck, I do. I'm pretty sure you probably do, too, if you really laid it down on the table and examined them real closely.
Right, yeah. In principle, I'm with them.
Yeah, and some people have ideas and views that they need to have governments to provide them with things rather than to protect them. You know, it's always have been like that. Thomas Jefferson was against the United States becoming a manufacturing industrial power. You know, he went against Alexander Hamilton, who lost his life in a duel with Aaron Burr, which was the vice president. And Jefferson was a agrarian. Alexander Hamilton wanted the government to impose tariffs on imported goods, which at one point in time got as high as 45%. In order to protect, to provide a form of protectionism on companies in America, which was in the infancy stage. So it wasn't free trade, it was protectionism. Even Adam Smith, which was a world-renowned economist at that time, you know, that's what they was, that was one of the ravages of the, that was one of the proponents of the South, not the South, but the North. And the Western states conferred with the South. So, you know, the reasons of the Civil War goes beyond just somebody wanting to keep their slaves, as we are taught.
Let's back up here a little bit. You know what? I want you to go over that Big Ben thing and that being a ghetto myth.
Well, Banneker died in 1806. That clock wasn't built till about, what, 30 years later?
Mm-hmm. Okay, and?
Why would they name something after a black man that died 30 years before? They didn't name the clock after him.
Okay.
1806, black was very marginal in the world. Britain forbid its colonies from participating in industry, participating in technology, because they didn't want them to become competitors. That's one of the things I always harp on, is that we need to be competing against those things that we always like to lash out at and call mean and unmoral. It ain't unmoral. It's about business.
Yeah. It's about business and commerce. And some of that is hard to go ahead and grasp. They seem like real hard concepts.
Well, yeah, you know, one of the reasons why we depend so heavily on the federal government for things, you know, you always constantly hear the questions of why come they don't make schools better. Well, hell, the days ain't going to make schools better for your children. You got to make schools better for your own damn children. Not saying damn, but your own self. Days, I mean, goes back to the same old pretense. There's a pie that represents an industry, a market, and right now each slice of the pie has got somebody's name on it. And if you want to enter into that market and you want a slice of the pie, well, the pie is already sliced up. So if you want a slice, you got to take portions of other people's slice in order to create your own slice. They're not going to give it to you.
But there's no way to go ahead and create your own pie?
Oh, hey, like, yeah, there's a way to go to create your own pie. You just get in there and put your business plan together, your plans, and go in and make them come to fruition. And you take from them by doing it better, doing it cheaper, or however.
However. The knowledge is there.
Well, yeah, you got the knowledge. You're already running somebody else's business.
Right.
You call that activity a job.
Do jobs really help you?
Some of them do, yeah. Some jobs are the best place in the world to get to obtain skills and experience in a particular operation or industry.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Just like technology, the United States won't sell some technology. Some companies are not allowed to sell some advanced technology to other countries because they will take it and, you know, advance themselves. The same thing they were doing back in the 1700s. They wasn't selling technology to other countries.
Right now, Brother Pianchi, what would you say the U.S. is most advanced technical invention is right now?
Well, they are advancing in certain areas, like in machines and machinery and corporations moved out of the United States. The EPA drove them out, for one thing, because of regulations. And the United States do have an edge on technology, but see, that's one thing that you cannot control. You can't control people's minds. You know, mind is a mind, no matter if it's in Chicago or whether it's in St. Petersburg, Russia, and it has, or whether it's in a village in South Africa. So you're not going to be able to I mean, you can do things to stymie it, but the things that you're thinking about today, other people someplace in the world is having those same thoughts more likely than not. So they try to control technology as much as they possibly can. Like they're trying to deny Iran the ability to produce its own nuclear fuel. Because right now there's only a handful of countries in the world that does that. So what happens when you bring on other countries that do it? Well, the price goes down, right? You get more competition. Airbus is getting ready to open up a factory in, what, Alabama, I think it is? And they start producing, competing against Boeing. I don't know how they pulled that off, but with Obama in the presidency, you know, and especially with France, Obama seemed like has some kind of relationship with France that needs to be more investigated.
Uh-oh.
You're in Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, who controls the school lunch programs there? Isn't it that French company called Sodexo? That you don't know.
Sodexo.
Sodexo?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, why in the hell would black folks let that shit go on?
Wait a minute now. I mean, maybe I was like a lone warrior, but man, but I was submitting bids for that, man. I've been submitting bids for that for a long time.
That is totally ridiculous, man.
Submitting bids, and that's kind of stuff I'm into, they wasn't even biting, bro. I'm telling you.
I don't care, man. Black people is crazy. Why the hell you let your children? You got a foreign company coming in and feeding your children, taking that money elsewhere.
Exactly.
And you're at home unemployed, ain't got nothing to do, ain't making no money, suffering and all that stuff. That food should be, you know, I was talking to some brothers down in Mississippi that has, that's a part of an agriculture association for black farmers. And, matter of fact, I had his number written down right here because I was supposed to contact him again.
Hold on. Let me tell you something real quick about Sodexo. And it depends on what neighborhood they're in. And yeah. They're in one of the richer neighborhoods, they get the high-end food, okay? They get the real nice stuff. If they're on the low end, they ain't too good. They like subcontract part of that to some of the other schools.
The Mississippi Family Farmers Association. As a matter of fact, he mentioned to me that he's entered into it, that the Association of Black Farmers under that organization is entering into a contract with some Chicago clergy about starting a farmer's market based on, you know, the things that's grown by black farmers, which I think is an excellent idea.
What was that name again?
Mississippi Family Farmers Association. So that's what needs to be, you know, I applaud that. Matter of fact, I talked to him for a little while, then he turned me on to another guy with another organization, and his name is Federation of Southern Cooperatives. I'm supposed to contact him next week. But, and that's what we talked about. We asked him, I said, why in the hell? As a matter of fact, he mentioned the company's name too that you did, Sodexo. I guess they all know. I guess these people all throughout the country. But see, France is still continuing to put a stranglehold around its former colonies, which is African countries, through the control of their currency. And that there, I think, is a human rights violation. And these school districts that's serving a predominantly black population need to look at all those things and say, to hell with this stuff. Why are we continuing to send money, our money, our school dollars, abroad the way we're doing it?
Okay.
And people need to rise up on those issues. Don't make no damn sense, man. What are you over there in France running?
It's France. I think Belgium still got a big stranglehold on a lot of places, too.
They all do.
They all do. But I think those are the bigger ones.
Everybody.
A lot of things go up there. And then when they they come in and just make, they still doing what they're doing to the country. But when I watched some stuff on how, like, you got African immigrants in France
it is treated just horribly and discriminated against, but they on there still down in Africa going ahead and raping and pillaging and just stealing the resources.
They control the currency in those African countries. It's called the CFA Pact, where they control like every dollar. I think Africans control like 65 cents, and the rest of it is controlled by France.
So isn't that similar to like Haiti still paying reparations to France?
It paid reparations.
Aren't they still paying?
I think they paid it off. But they shouldn't have paid off. Who in the hell ever heard of some crazy mess that you owe me money since you kept me from enslaving you for a period of time? That would have been the money I would have gained off of working you for nothing. And see, the United States went along with that stuff, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they sure did. And they made money off going ahead and keeping it the way it is.
Well, Haiti used to be a rice exporter. Now they import rice through all sorts of political wrangling from the United States. The U.S. subsidizes farmers, which is protection. And they bitch and stuff about the free trade. Ain't no free trade. And that's why our food prices cost so much. Because of that damn subsidies.
Yeah, I see that too. And also, you also see a lot of the people who, some of the people who go ahead and go against it, like some of these politicians who go say they're going against it, but they also profiting off of it.
Oh, I don't know of any politicians that go against something like that now. See, that's the thing is, now, you know, I like Ron Paul, but Ron Paul is still for that type of dominance.
He still got his hands tied up in these subsidies. Well, he's profiting also?
No, he's not going to talk against them because he comes from a state that profited from that.
Okay.
You know, Texas is a cattle producer. Texas is also a rice producer.
Okay. Oh, no. They're not
going to
say nothing against that.
No, they're not. That's what I try to get it in some people's heads, some of the excuses and arguments they throw out there about hating Republicans and being in bed with Democrats, which actually, you know, I keep telling them, it's all about money.
Right.
About business.
So since it's all about money, that makes them the same beast, don't you think?
They are the same. One and the same.
You know, when I try to tell people that, some people want to go ahead and come at me in a negative light, and I keep trying to tell them at the end of the day it's the same. You know, it was like once I had a legal issue, right? And my attorney, I'm paying. He's in court. He's pretending he's all pissed off and ticked off. So after we finished discussing my case, we got another day to come back. I had to go sign some papers, so my attorney left. So I had parked my car a little ways away. I walked over there to get my car, and I walked past a restaurant from the courthouse. There's a restaurant there. And I guess who I see in there? My attorney sitting with the idiot who's trying to put me in jail and a judge. I didn't like that because they seemed like they were just laughing and joking and giggling. And that's the same thing I feel that, hey, look, with all these politicians. They go ahead and they put on a big old show and you know, so everybody can see this other show, but behind the scenes, they all laughing and joking, playing a game.
Well, those people will do what they can in order to protect their own. I keep telling folks that. They don't believe me. I don't know for why. I mean, all evidence out there prove that. I mean, it's nothing wrong. I don't blame them for doing that. What I blame is that we in particular fall for that crazy mess.
I blame the ones, just like I was saying. I'm paying you. Like my attorney, I'm paying this cat. Okay? I had lost a lot of money with this dude. But it's the same thing with the politicians. I'm paying you. So some of that nonsense needs to stop. I don't get, you know, some people go ahead sitting on their hands about it. But, you know, it's that ignorance that's out there, and that ignorance is what's blinding us.
But that stuff, only thing black women do, seemingly, and I'm not saying, I'm just telling, like, from this perspective, all they do is push these babies out. Well, no, just think about this. When they push these babies out, then they're going to receive WIC from the government.
Talking about the ones that's getting assistance, right?
Well, in some way. Even if they go to preschool, they're going to be drinking milk that's coming from farmers that we don't participate in, receiving subsidized government payment in order to help their industry. So you feeding them there. All right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to end up in the public school system. And the public school system is, and we know who the majority of the teachers there. Black women are not the majority of teachers in the public school system. But the system wouldn't work if you don't have children sit there.
Right.
Because children have to be sitting there in that seat at a certain hour of the day where the heads are counted. At that point in time, that building gets credit, gets dollars from the state based on the number of heads that's counted. Okay, whatever happened after the count, they don't give a damn, seemingly. And I ain't saying everybody, but just follow me on this. All right, the kids there, they're receiving through Title, I think it's Title I, they receive free and reduced lunch. And then in that lunch, you find agricultural products that's being subsidized by the government in an industry that we don't participate in hardly at all. All right, then the children go through there. Providing the children are act as a commodity in the public schools where teachers, which don't look like, you know, me and you to no great extent, because 75% of the teachers are Caucasians in the public school system. Might be more than that now because they got this Teach for America thing going on. So they come there and they stay there for a number of years until they can earn not only a salary but also draw a pension out of there with health and medical and so on and so on and so on. So our children are used as a commodity to make that industry work. So we don't start it off like children are used as a commodity for the preschool industry. They're used as a commodity for the elementary school industry. Then the fact that they don't get no education, so many of them comes out and they get caught up in this other industry, which is called crime, ending up in a jail or in the prison, actually in the justice system, and they end up in prison, which is another industry that's located in the outlying areas where businesses have left, manufacturing factories have left, and they're providing a business employment opportunity for people that live in the rural areas. Blacks don't live in rural areas.
That's exactly right. I couldn't interrupt you on that. I couldn't go against that. That's exactly right. Yep. That's exactly how I saw it.
If some state, Nebraska, is short people, they'd take prisoners or they'd take convicted criminals that's coming out of Chicago and send their ass way the hell out of Nebraska. Now, when time comes for community development block grants to come down, that block grant money comes from the federal government based on their population. So what do? Not only do they count the people that's in the normal population, but they also count the people that's in the prison population. So you got people, you got individuals that come from Chicago that's in the jails in Wyoming and Nebraska that's used as accountable head to go toward funds that's going to go to those areas there. Whereas where that child come from in Chicago, Southside Chicago or Detroit, well, won't, that would be less money that's going to where it's needed. So you're using your children.
Yeah.
When you get killed on the streets, Rob, they bring out a crime investigative scene. They tape it off. They have photographers come out there. They have evidence people come out there doing fingerprints and everything. They have detectives go around and start asking questions. They probably spent a whole night, about 20 people, spent a whole night on that crime scene on the death of one black person. Multiply that by 300 or 400. That's a whole year for 20 people to work, and probably more than one team, because you know you have more than any 300 deaths in Chicago, murders like that. So you at least putting 40 more people to work for a whole year on the death of black individuals.
Yeah, that's exactly what I see it too, because it's it's kind of hard to ignore all that. I keep on saying that crime pays, but crime is also paying for the cops.
Oh, that's good. Pays. Then you're going to have all sorts of things coming out. You're going to have money that's going to put more police on the street. You're going to have money that's used to put veterans into the police forces.
It's a pretty hefty tax break for a lot of places to bring veterans on.
So that's what I'm getting to, that everybody utilize ITRIM except for us. What is that kid? That baby that black woman pushed out, she don't get nothing back for that child after carrying it for 9 months, other than the fact that, you know, she gets taken care of to some sort of degree being the baby's mama by some sort of welfare program or SNAP. Even when she takes that SNAP card and goes and swipes it, J.P. Morgan gets paid every time somebody swipes the SNAP card. Why come no black organizations getting paid off of that?
Good question. Got another call on the line. 301-752. Your line is open.
Hello, gentlemen. Hello, hello. This is D.A. How's everybody doing tonight?
All right. How are you, brother?
Great, great, great. You know, I was listening to Pianki speak. You know, I don't follow the criminal justice system or the science of penology that much. But just anecdotally, you know, I just wonder what type of crimes and where are the crimes committed that tend to get you jail time? What I mean by that is I don't know a lot of people. I know a lot of people commit crimes, okay? But when they commit crimes in the hood, a lot of people don't get jail time for that. A lot of people I know who were in for thefts and assaults and things, they out on the street. You know, I just wonder, I believe there's a major imbalance between where you commit the crime. Not only the type of crimes you commit, but where you commit them. I think in certain venues, certain jurisdictions, they are far more lenient on crime than others. You know, and I think that's a, you know, if you get caught, get pinched selling drugs in the hood, I'm telling you, I see a lot of people don't do time. They get out, they do probation, and even, oh, and that's another point, you know, on a probation tip. You know people paying for their probation?
Yeah.
I had a cousin told me he had to go see his probation officer to give him $700-something. I said, for what? They said he had to pay for his probation.
But you know what, brother? I know you've heard of the term three strikes and you're out, right? Now, that was in California. That was in California. Your third strike could be just stealing a slice of pizza. And you going to prison and going to do some time in California. And that came down under the Clinton administration. So, yeah, they do put people in jail. I mean, those over a million, well, I guess it's, some people say 700,000, some people say over a million. Black men that's in prison, they had to get there from something. And you know the sad thing about it, I know some black young men that when September started coming around, they intentionally try to get themselves locked up in jail so they can spend the winter and have a warm place to sleep and three meals a day.
Yeah, possible.
Yeah, when I lived in New Jersey, and I was clerking, working for a Superior Court judge in Essex County over the summer. And in Essex County, it was so overcrowded, the county courts and the jail system, that if you didn't have an aggravated assault or you weren't carrying a large amount of weight, you got a slap on the wrist. Whereas if you got pinched in Somerset County, Herndon County, which are somewhat more rural counties. Man, they threw the book at you. And they went through forfeiture law to try to take whatever property you may have had in the county or any vehicle you may have been driving if you got pinched with carrying, transporting drugs. They would go after the vehicle. I mean, there are certain jurisdictions in New Jersey that were not simply, they weren't busy. They couldn't justify having judges. They couldn't justify having probation officers and having a criminal justice system because there wasn't a lot of crime. There was one murder every 5 years in Somerset County. So if you did get caught in those areas, I mean, like I said, they threw the book at you. Whereas in Essex County, which is in Newark is the county seat, you nothing happened. You know, the jails were overcrowded. So if you committed murder, attempted murder, aggravated assault, yeah, they would, the judicial system would give you some attention. But anything other than that, no. And that's a problem that people don't know. Well, I guess people do know. You know, it depends on where you are at in terms of, because you have certain judges for whatever, they are far more strict in certain jurisdictions. In Detroit, I mean, Wayne County, Oakland County it has some of the most heinous sentencing in the state of Michigan. All right, if you're in Wayne County, okay, or even when they had the Coroner's Court, which is a jurisdiction in Detroit that handled criminal cases, you know, you got a wink and a nod a lot of times, all right? But if something happened in Macomb or Oakland County, no. And these judges were giving kids a lot of time. You know, they were giving kids 25 to life.
Yeah, it's like here. They do the same thing here. They got little places where they got the little conclaves where they go ahead and they throw the book at a lot of these kids. Because here in one of the counties is DuPage, and I think the other one is McHenry County, Will County.
In Cook County, they had the thing that was called Nigger by the Pound. You heard about that, didn't you? Y'all heard about Nigger by the Pound, didn't you?
I didn't.
Well, in the Cook County's prosecutor office, amongst the prosecutors, they had a contest, sort of like a football pool. And whichever prosecutor would convict 4,000 pounds of black meat first in 30 days, they won the pool. And the activity was called Nigger by the Pound. It was written up in the Chicago Tribune. People can Google it, and they can still find it today. It was back in the 1970s. Matter of fact, when Ryan commuted the sentence of all those people that was on death row?
Yeah.
I'm saying that he probably got wind of that and just found, he probably came to his senses. And, you know, you got these blacks that was convicted based on this contest, this office pool contest.
Going to jail is profitable.
Well, of course it is. Yeah, of course. Most of our county tax dollar goes towards the jail and the schools. And to be honest with you, there's a point where there's is blurry. You know, there's an intersection between the two, between the schools, the juvenile justice system, and the county jail system. There is a bridge. I'm telling you, there's a bridge. You know, that's what the DARE program and they got the juvenile courts and all that stuff. They are directly linked to the schools. So all the officers, they know all the kids, you know, or should I say, quote unquote, bad kids, you know. So when the kid get 18, 19 years old, the officers know all the kids. You give them the name, they know them from the DARE program. They know where they live. They got all the intelligence. You know, they know their brothers. They know their whether they're single parent home or not. And there is a direct link between the juvenile programs and the kid going to do big time. You know, and again, it all depends, of course, on where you commit your crime. If you're in Baltimore City, again, the jails, they ain't got no place to put you if you're a juvenile. Because the jails are so overcrowded, and they don't want to get sued. You know, but as soon as you turn 18, it's over. I mean, and sometimes they give these kids hard time. I mean, doing 10 years is no joke. When you in your 20s, you know what I mean? You in your 20s and somebody give you a dime, that's not, no. How you going to recover from that? In your 20s is where you pick up a trade, where you begin to apply yourself. We begin to assert yourself. But if you in jail, you come out and now you're in your early 30s, mid-30s, who going to hire you?
Okay, so you being an educator real quick. You being in that field. Okay, so they're going to need a lot of psychological help, and they don't get it. So what would you work on?
Yeah, they're gonna need a lot of psych. Here's the thing. We all live our lives in phases, okay? The real you heard the phrase wasted adolescence, where
Yeah. Kids
just waste their teenage years away doing stupid stuff. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's critical, all right? Because you in those formative years, that's where you begin to enter into adulthood, manhood. But if you get an addiction to drugs, if you get pregnant or you become get a couple of women pregnant and the child support thing bites on you, it is that window is what we should be operating on, is getting kids on the right track in those teenage years, keeping them out of trouble, giving them a trade, a real trade to do, teaching them how to put money in their pocket, plumbing, being an electrician, or being serious if they want to go the education route and go to school, whatever, and do that, being serious about that. We got to get a hold of kids in that adolescent years, because at that time they begin to speak back, talk back to their parents. They begin to stay out at night. They begin to hang out with their buddies, and they begin to, get in the trouble.
But hold on, B.A., but that's prevention. Okay, so I'm talking about the rehab process. See what I'm saying?
On the rehab end, man, I couldn't tell you how to recover, man. I couldn't tell you, because I've never seen a successful program to even begin with. I'm be honest with you. I haven't. I've never been involved in the criminal justice system, never. I got family, and once they get pinched, it's over, man. When they go in the jail, I got a cousin that's been in and out of jail for 20 years. He hadn't done 20 straight years, but he's been in and out of jail over the last 20 years. Drugs is his big issue. I've not seen a successful program for him. It just keeps calling him. You know, as soon as he get out, he's held jobs. But the job can't hold him, man. You're making $10 an hour. You 45, 50 years old. That can't hold you, man. You do it for like 6 months, right? You all doing it. And then something come up. Hey, man, let's go out. Let's do this. Let's do that. And you get a taste, and as you back at square one. It's, the job, those things can't hold you. And I don't know if you got the discipline at that age to go back and do that training. You know, to get a trade or involved in a profession. You know, because some people got egos, they got pride, they not gonna sit up there and go through things that a teenager would do. Or someone in their early 20s would do. You know, when you get out of jail, you 20, 30 years old, it's tight. It's different. I don't know what from a psychological point of view, I guess that's to give them counseling. I'm sure that would be good. But you got to start your life over again. You got to correct all the things that you didn't do when you were a teenager. You know, and like I said, you can give them a job. You know, these returning citizen programs and all. Yeah, you can get the man a job, but how long is that job going to hold him? How long is he going to be out there holding that flag?
Yeah, but you know another thing, too, is that we talking about damn near a million men, just like cases, just like that. And the days are not going to do that. They don't. Those children, those people are used as an instrument in order to make an industry work so somebody else can make money off of it. I mean, you wouldn't have no horse racing if you didn't have any horses.
Well, sure, Mexico.
Yeah, that's true, Pianchi. That's true. But at another point, you know, you're a grown man. You got grown man responsibilities. And unfortunately, the hood, you know, the community that we live in, we don't do a lot of hiring. You know, we don't.
That is a major problem.
Yeah, we don't. We cannot give you protection. We can't give you a cushion. The communities, they can do that for you. They can hold you. They can walk you through it, and they can give you support while you get on your feet, while you get things moving. But in
a black community,
go ahead.
Something real quick, man. I think that also helping to change a person's moral compass can go ahead and redirect the people to doing some other things. Because sometimes, you know, just like you're saying about the brothers, 45, 50, get out of jail and gonna work for $10 an hour. And he know that, hey, look, well, I made more money, a hell of a lot more money than this, an hour, than I do a month here, doing what I was doing that got me locked up.
Right.
So how do you change that moral compass? So, you know, go ahead and think about that.
Well, the only way you change all this is very complicated, but it has to be a system. And as I mentioned before it's all said and done, we're going to be wishing for the days of the Klan. Because in essence, them systems worked back during them days compared to what we see going on today. Today, everything is completely out of whack. I mean, if you got high unemployment, poverty, people are going to resort to crime. If you got something for people to do, then they ain't going to have time for that. I mean,
I always said that.
They not. You know, I mean, individuals that have children want to have children, be able to provide for the child and the wife and have a home and be able to send them to school, buy them clothes. And, I mean, what individual don't want that? But when all the circumstances are leading away from achieving that, then people are going to do what people do. Human beings are going to be human beings, and they're going to try to survive.
Is there a point where you just made so many mistakes where there's no get back? I mean, there's nothing we can do for you? I mean, come up from a psychological, from a moral end. I mean, you got 3, 4, 5, 6 kids out there. You ain't taking care of none of them. You got 2 or 3 baby moms. You ain't did none of them right. And we trying to make an honest man out of you when you know you are anything. Your history shows that you're anything but that. And now we trying to get you to work a 9-to-5. Which you disdain all your life, you know. We're trying to get you to be a average Joe Smo. I mean,
let me back up a little bit, and I'll deal with the rehab thing again, because I see it like twofold. It's not so much the individuals getting released; they need to be in a rehab program, but it's also the people that they were connected to that he might go ahead and get back with, or he or she. See, there should be some kind of rehab for that family. See what I'm saying?
Well, they ain't going to do that, man.
That's too much, right?
They're not going to do that, Rob. And, you know, and it's not the individual's fault when you look at it. Now, after so many times, I mean, you're talking about somebody 50 years old. Yeah, you can blame them for it then. But you're talking about a kid that's 17, 18 years old. That ain't their fault. That's black society's fault.
But see, I'm saying that I know you're not going to do that, but I think that that's something that should be, that's another thing that can be looked at by some of these groups. is to push that idea too.
Well, there's always something out there to address social issues, but when it comes down to economic issues, everything gets quiet.
Okay. Maybe the social issues are more like, I need a place to stay and I'm hungry. You know, so economics don't really take a front seat to that when you're hungry.
Well, if you got the economics in place, you wouldn't have to be begging somebody else for something to eat and a place to stay. And I beg to differ on you about something to eat. People starving, because you have a hard time to convince me that Americans are starving looking at the size of them.
Well, America is one of the most obese countries. I think it is the top. I don't remember where I saw that.
No, brothers, Americans ain't starving.
That's 720. The line is open.
Hotep brothers on the show, Pianki and Chef Rob, and I don't know if anybody else is on the show.
VA.
VA.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Where you been? You late?
I know. I have a class I do myself on Tuesday night, so I'm always going to be late on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
And I was just listening in for about 30 minutes, and I pretty much like what y'all saying. And I agree, too, which is rare for me and you, Pianki. I agree that we so fat in this country, ain't nobody hungry.
No, but, you can testify to that, too, that, we started off talking about this French company that's controlling the food services in these public schools. And I told... I was telling Rod, that's totally ridiculous that black folks let this stuff go on. And early in the day, I had talked to some Black Farmers Association in Mississippi, because I was trying to find a black dairy farmer. And we got talking about the same thing, and he named the same name of the company that Rob named in Chicago, Sodexo. So that has to change. How in the hell you let somebody come from a country, and in particular France, and looking at their human rights records in Africa with its former colonized countries, how in the hell we continue to let these outsiders come in and take control of your economy like that? And it's something as precious as feeding your own children.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, have we ever not been colonized by the same colonizers? To me, it sounds like we've never really gotten from under.
Well, it was a time when I came up to school, and when I went through that line, it was black women standing behind on the other side of that counter. Some of them I knew because I see them in the neighborhood that was preparing the food. And, of course, at that time, we didn't have the association with farmers at that time. But now we have farmers. Matter of fact, I told Rob that this one organization said they just entered into a contract to provide provided produce for a open market there amongst the black churches, some black church group in Chicago. But this is just totally ridiculous, man. How in the hell are our people out of work? Our children are being fed a bunch of garbage. You know, it was not too long ago that they was talking about this red slime that's being fed to children in the schools, and we let this stuff continue to go on.
Because it's not an urgency. It's always that bait and switch thing there, man. They're flashing a bunch of garbage in front of you and tell you that's real life.
And this is what globalization looks like.
Something else, really quick. Hold on, brother. There's something else. I was wondering why we were applying for some of those contracts. I was trying to go ahead and get my company involved. And, man, they never looked at me. Never. Never, never, never. So it's like all them other. I've seen a whole bunch of other companies that got the contracts. Wasn't too many of them. They were small black companies. They weren't. I don't think it was. It wasn't too many of them.
I think that's what globalization is. It translates into what we're seeing.
Say that again.
I think the globalization has translated into what we're seeing, displacing our own communities once again.
What does that have to do? I'm trying to. What does globalization have to do with black-owned businesses getting contracts?
Well, for one, you have a French contractor from France, former colonizer, feeding black children. That should tell you right there.
Let me back. All right, Sodexo has a major operation headquarters outside of Washington, D.C. in Maryland, in Rockville, Maryland. They hire a lot of black folk, by the way. I know it's not black-owned. I know it's the French own it. But I understand where you're coming from, but I really do. But I'm just saying, here in the state of Maryland, nobody looks at them as being a French colonized owned company. That's just not how people.
A lot of us I get what you're saying, BA. Okay, I know it. I also worked for them. I worked for Sodexo through a temp agency one time, and they paid pretty good. They paid really good, and they sent me to go ahead and run this. The cafeteria at this one school, one school where the kids are riding up in brand new Mercedes and Jaguars and cars I ain't never seen in my life. Okay, so Sodexo was running that whole operation, and they are providing gourmet food for these kids.
You know where the difference come at? See, they not doing it for nothing.
They're not doing it for nothing.
Right. And see, that's everything other than nothing that they're taking back to France is being used to send somebody else's kids to college. It's being used to help start somebody else's business. It's being used to enrich somebody back in their country. Whereas it should, if not even the black neighborhood, it should be somebody in America. You know,
yeah.
I mean,
I agree with everything everyone said, but there are two major food service companies, Sodexo one and Aramark in Philadelphia is another one. And they not only provide food services to schools, but also hospitals, businesses, government, any place that has a cafeteria that needs food, these people are on the job, and they're the number ones. Supplier of food. Now, African Americans don't have an operation that I know of that can meet the volume of Sodexo or Aramark. We just don't have it. So the question is, how can we fit in to this dynamic here of food services?
Let me get with that because I think you get a little too far here. There's some black businesses out here. There's some black caterers out here can go ahead and can handle a decent amount of business. They can go ahead and handle large volumes. Okay, there's some of them that's out here. Like some of these accounts that I see with Sodexo or Aramark, they probably put like 10 or 15 people into these kitchens. Okay, we can handle that. That's simple. You got some other places where, hey, look, it's an office space. Or like the courthouse they were doing out here. That was like the food service, that was like, I think it was like a $10 million contract, okay? And so they had a lot of companies applying for it, and they were talking about, you know, at first they were expecting maybe like 1,200 people per day. I mean, there's a lot of black companies out here can handle that, man. They don't want to give them contracts to us. Okay, well, it's not that the company businesses are not out there. We're not getting them.
That's what I was going at. I was saying that as a subcontractor, you know, Wayne County Jail, the commissary, all right, those companies are always looking for black subcontractors. Even the service pass throughs. I'm just telling you the truth. That's where I see African Americans setting up shop as being subcontractors providing sandwiches, let's say, or candy bars or whatever. But as far as being the general contractor, the prime contractor, I understand what you're saying, Rob, but these companies are, they do $20, $30, $40 billion in business. You can't, these contracts coming from the state level. They're coming from the governor's office. They're coming from the state legislature, all right, because you got a black superintendent. They don't run, they don't say who the contract is, the food contract, the milk contract is going. You got to be, these cats are in it at a much higher level than what we see our people at.
Well, you got them blacks. That's why come somebody asked me the question, do I love black folks? Hell no, I don't love all black folks. Some black folks need to be beaten, flushed down the toilet, man. As simple as that. And read this article on, I just put this link on the Colonial Pack, how France, this is how these companies get these money. I mean, let's be realistic. If they control these 14 African countries where they have to deposit their currency into the 65% plus another 20% of their currency into a French bank, 65 cents goes in, plus they have to pay 20% for liability. I don't know what the liability is. I guess if French lose the money, I guess they have to pay for their own insurance if their own money gets stolen or lost. They only leave them with 15% to operate a country with. Now, if France has got this money of these African countries in their banks, what are they doing with it? Well, hell, they providing the capital for companies like Sodexo to come into America and get these footholds into these school districts in this particular case in the black community and run wild with them. That's the kind of bull crap that pisses me off.
And that's like I said, it's a continuous colonial process. You know, when Haiti defeated France, England, and Spain, all three of them vowed to never let any black people rise. And that's what they proceed to do.
Now, black folks don't have to go along with that stuff, with the
with
what's going on. Like you had some black parents, and this was in your city. I don't know what come all these instances that I bring up happens in Chicago, but you had some children that would bring in their own brown bag lunch to school, and the principal threatened to suspend them because they wasn't eating the Sodexo food. Did you hear about that, Rob?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Yeah, that was happening in one of them Chicago schools.
Oh, I probably heard about it and it slipped my mind. I didn't put a lot of thought into it, but that's how they go ahead and get control over the schools. They go ahead and control a lot of that. I kind of heard something similar to that from some other people. Some people telling that their kids can't bring lunches to school.
Now, how stupid is that, man? Come on, now let's be realistic. AC, I keep telling you, you're going to be happy to get back to the times of the Klan, man, when we didn't have all this kind of foolishness. The worst thing we had to worry about was having the cross burnt on our lawn every other now and then.
That ain't AC. That's Kometu. AC didn't call in yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I know what you're saying, man. Because I see how that school is... Because the lady was telling me that a kid can't bring the lunch to school, and she was giving me, gave them a list of stuff that they ain't supposed to be bringing in a lunch, in their lunch, and they had to change the whole plan around. And you don't really know what they feed. Like I said, in the high school that I worked at, okay, they had paid me pretty good money with that coming over there for that one day. I never want to do that again because it was real violent in the kitchen. But... but that over there was pretty. It was, you know, they went all out. They got these kids all kinds of some of the best stuff. I mean, you see this in these nice restaurants. But then I heard about, you know, sometimes when Sodexo would send people to other schools, and they kind of like subcontract part of that. And Sodexo don't really. They just provide the meals, and they already frozen, and you got to thaw it out. But at the other end, at the other schools, we made it fresh for them. Okay, daily. So these are industries that we could go ahead and get involved in. It's real, real. I don't think it's that damn hard, but how do you go ahead and let people know? That's the thing. We're not aware of it. A lot of us not aware of a lot of stuff. I think that's one thing that's going ahead and
you know,
getting together.
Okay. Rob, let me say this, Rob. It's not, Rob, people are aware of the businesses, okay? They are aware of
I'm just in Maryland. I know the schools. I know how they operate. I know how they work. People are aware of the businesses. You talk about school construction, all right? You got in D.C., one time it was a 99% black school district. When a school is to be built, you go on a site, ain't a black person on the site, okay? They know the amount of money that's being generated. They know the contracting dollars there, and they know, you know, they use that deceptive term, minority. I've seen minority contractors and a black minority contractor in the group. I've seen minority contractors where a woman is a black woman is a twofer. Okay, she's a woman and a black. All right, so you get two boxes to check, and she's married to a white man who's providing the business, who's running the business. I've seen that type of stuff. Black people, in order to go in there and go to war with Tedesco, that's what you're doing, Rob. You're going to war with them, with Tedesco and Aramark. You need some balls. And I'm telling you, black folk ain't got it. I'm not being disparaging. I'm not. I'm just saying the superintendent is there for a reason. He ain't there to create no waves for nobody. He is not going to ruffle no feathers. All right? I look at the curriculum. They depend on a company called Pearson's, which is a British-owned company. You're talking about colonization. All the standardized testing in the world, in the country, is done through a British-owned firm called Pearson's, which also owns the Financial Times, that orange newspaper some of you may see at some of the newspaper stands. Okay? They provide all the standardized testing and the curriculum for public schools. You don't think African Americans got enough sense and been in school, been teaching, been in education for a long time? We can't come up with a curriculum. We can't create a standardized test. There's nothing to it. Every time a kid takes a standardized test, that's $50 goes to Pearson's. And every kid has to take the test every year. So think about how many
standardized tests is also in certain individuals that get involved, just like what you just said with the black woman. She's got the twofer. She's a woman and she's a minority, but she married to a black guy. And you got people to go ahead.
A white guy.
But you got people who go ahead and do the same thing. You know, they know that we're trying to go ahead and get these contracts, and so they're gonna go ahead and go behind your back, because what you go ahead bucking the system where you messing with their money pretty much. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of people that
and that's what I call a colonial gatekeeper. That's what it's been.
A gatekeeper, exactly.
A colonial gatekeeper.
Colonial gatekeeper. Yeah, it's a too many colonial gatekeepers.
And, you know, I know Pianki talks about the Constitution and the laws in this country, but it's still technically owned by England.
Well, I tell you what. We were talking about Chicago. This stuff is going on in several other cities. About these lunches, man.
Aramark controls Colorado schools' lunch contracts and all that, and food.
Here, there's one school in North Carolina where this inspector determined that this lady's daughter's lunch was not healthy enough and made her take a school lunch. In fact, he made the whole class do it. I would be ready to hang this dude, man. How are you people going to tell you what's best for your children? This stuff is getting too far.
When are we going to take the children out of school and debase their whole budget?
You can think in part Michelle Obama for some of this. I tell you why. The reason why, actually started before Michelle Obama, that there's some nutritional guidelines that suppliers have to follow in terms of, you know, supplying food. Certain number of calories, carbs, and protein, all that. That's why they don't want children bringing their own lunches to school. Because you can't bring lunches and put a big cake in there, you know, your sweet potato pie you had last night. you cannot bring that to school. Matter of fact, if you're in a kindergarten, pre-K, or first, second grade, and you want to have a little party at the school, you're not allowed to do that in Maryland because of the nutritional guidelines. They won't let you bring a cake. You can't bring ice cream. You can't bring any food. Okay?
Well, you know what, brother? That's crazy, man.
Yeah, it is.
You know what we used to bring when I was a kid? We used to bring a hamburger patty in between two pieces of bread, chocolate milk, and you want to see what we looked like then, just go on YouTube and bring up Soul Train and look at them kids out there dancing. That's what we looked like then. That ain't planet Mars. That's not Jupiter. That's America, some American city.
And they weren't fat.
This is totally ridiculous, these people telling you what you can't feed your own children. That's a bunch of bull crap.
Okay.
You know what they did here? We have an African-centered school, and I know y'all heard of Kwanzaa Kunjufu. And the school wanted to have some of his books in the classroom, in the library. So this white lady down at the public school administration office said these books are not adequate. So I said, okay. Now, the principal told me about it, and I said, okay. So I finally got an appointment to go down there and talk to the lady, and I said, what do you mean these books are not adequate? This is what these parents of these children want their children to read. What do you mean they're not adequate? Well, this has got a so. This has got a so. This is what these black parents want their children to read. Well, after about an hour and a half, she agreed with me. But, you know, we got to stop rolling over and letting these folks, I don't even know what you want to describe them as, but this stuff is totally ridiculous.
Okay, let me say this. Let me add this. Let me quickly add this, Bianchi, to bring some understanding to that. There's a company called Scholastic, okay? Scholastic provides about 90% of all library books at the elementary school level. If you go up to the elementary, say it again.
All the books are racist.
They provide. They do the book fairs. They provide when your kid bring home books. I'm telling you, look at them. I guarantee it's been provided by Scholastic. Okay. They have the state school boards come up with guidelines for what's appropriate reading materials, all
right?
And they make sure that Afrocentric books are kept off of the list for appropriate reading material. That's number one. Number two, they also have a certain you just can't go to the book to your school and donate books, okay? They won't take them because books have to be what they call bounded, all right? You just can't bring the book. The book has to be laminated a certain way, or it has to be bound a certain way in order for them to
take it. It's called library bound.
Yeah. And that keeps a lot of books off the shelves. And again, the content, what the book is about. They won't let Afrocentric books in there. They won't let them in. You have a hard time getting Maya Angelou, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, on the bookshelves. But, you know, if they're not buying it, okay, they don't want them. The schools have to buy it. And if the schools
are
buying,
we're going to take the children out and demand that we give them what we want.
Like I said, we got to have the balls to do that, and we ain't sure we got that, so.
I know, because we don't want to be watching no children.
let me add this too, brother, and let me add this one thing too. This is what I found out. Okay, it's only one thing that can get you locked up with schools. You all right? If you take your child to school, and they had a child in gym all day, nothing gonna happen criminally. There's only one thing concerning the schools that can get you locked up. That's if you don't enroll your kid in school by the kindergarten age requirement. That's a crime. That you will get locked up. The state says your kid has to be in, if your kid turns six by this date, They got to be in school. They got to be in school. If you keep them out of school, that is a crime. They will go and lock you up for that. So when we say don't take our kids to school, there was a time when the sheriff will come in and lock you up and take your kid to a youth home and essentially lock them up too. Today,
let me end it quickly.
Let me say this. We never fought anything. This is what happened. The religious schools, the Quakers, religious sects, okay? They came up with homeschooling, and they fought the schools, and they said, no, we gonna homeschool our kids. The religious groups did that, and now they say, okay, we won't lock you up if you can show us that you are homeschooling your child, which you still have to go to. You still got to go to the schools and show them the curriculum and give them an update as to what you're doing, though. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But you don't have to practice the curriculum you show them. That's just game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, but you're gonna have to have something there for them to do. You just can't go in and say, okay, I got the, what they call it, Houghton Mifflin curriculum, and you ain't doing Houghton Mifflin. You're doing something else. But the point of the matter is, you still are going to have to come out of your pockets and pay for something to keep your kids competitively educated. You know, and a lot of us ain't in that shape to do that. You're going to have to go in your pockets and get some books. Get some curriculum, get some sports equipment, get the things that keep a kid's mind occupied 365 days of the year, and that costs money. The schools spend an enormous amount of money. Unfortunately, the money don't go towards the kids. The money goes to the teachers and to the contractors. But if you want to, as a community, if we want to set up an independent school system, it will cost an enormous amount of money. Just to get a building will cost you a lot of money. And now you want to have a building with classrooms and a gym and a cafeteria. That's
black folks did set up the independent school system coming out of the Black Power movement because they wanted an African set of curriculums.
And also Reconstruction, where they got public schools.
Yeah, you're right. They set up the Council of Independent Black Institutions and many other institutions, too. And they had about 80 schools across the country. Their own building, their own curriculum and everything. And also included homeschool. You know, if you homeschool your children is required to have access to them public schools for sports and the library and whatever. But, blacks did start their own school movement coming out of the Black Power struggles because they wanted to have African-centered curriculum. In the colleges, they wanted to have black studies and black professionals teaching. They had sit-ins in your college administration office back during the day, and that's how they got that. But black folks, and see, it gets back to the economy, man. You can't have...
What happened to it, Pianki? Tell me quickly, what happened to that?
Well, blacks stopped supporting it. One. Second thing, you had black teachers that was on welfare getting paid in cash. That can't, you know, you got to be able to support these schools. That's exactly what it is. You got about six of them left now. And they do excellent jobs. Excellent jobs. The only thing that I seen they was lacking was economic components to them.
And that was instituted by the state they're in, not by them.
This is my take, very quickly. We can take over schools, called the public schools. We can take them over. Everybody else did.
And we can argue the point that we created it. You know, they created public schools off of the model in Louisiana after Reconstruction because black folks had their own schools. And the white folks got mad and created public schools.
Well, white folks told black folks that they need to, since they're paying taxes, they need to take them children and put them in their own, in the public schools, which I think, you know, I mean, looking back at it, you know, that's what happened during that time. But, no, you're not going to teach your children what they need to be taught in a public school. I can tell you that now because I've seen them come in and destroy.
We have the statistical evidence that shit don't work for us.
You're right, it don't work. It don't work. And I don't see why come we don't understand. Then we always ask them when they going to improve school. Well, they ain't going to do that because your children will be competing against theirs. The same reason why coming out of in colonization, Britain would not let colonized countries produce technology, use technology to produce good that was going to compete against theirs. I mean, it's just, it gets down to that same old thing. It's about money. It's about
competition. And I think it's a little deeper than competing against the Europeans. They don't want you to create your own to be independent of them.
Well, I still go back to the same thing. They want you to buy everything that you need to survive from them. They want to provide it.
Right,
I don't see you, but everybody else in the world, too.
Right.
And they want you to pay for it. See, no matter how good it is, you only going to have a certain percentage of the jobs. You mentioned something earlier about there in Prince George, I think it was, Maryland County,
uh-huh.
where blacks occupy, what, about 70% of the county? And, you know, what percentage of them do they have on some of those jobs? They only get 10%. In Detroit, you had the Detroit City Council sitting down perfecting a minority hiring plan. What kind of foolishness is that? Hell, you make up 80-90% of the damn city, and you talking about creating a minority hiring plan?
Well, let me just say this about Maryland very quickly, Pianchi. Because of the federal government, all right, you got a lot of middle-class families. You got two parents working for government or government-affiliated businesses. They're making good money. You're at home. You got four historically black colleges in the state, right? All right? However, in Baltimore City and Prince George's County is where you have the majority of the black public school students. Don't you know that the state had to go to the Philippines to find teachers to bring them to these locations to teach our children?
Yeah, I heard
we didn't
about
have
that.
Teachers. They had to go to the Philippines. So now you tell me what type of system. What type? You got black colleges? You got middle class parents here? What system is that? You got two large school systems, 200,000 kids between the two school systems, but yet you got to go to a developing country to find teachers to bring over here. Okay?
And why is that?
Now, my whole thing, I'm telling you this now, that the whole, when you get right down to it, we don't have the courage to be independent, to do for self. That takes a lot of discipline. We ain't got it. Well, we don't exhibit it.
Which,
and I've been to council meetings, commissioners' meetings, and they were talking about economic development. And the blacks were saying, we want Walmart. We want Whole Foods.
Oh my God. We want
Trader Joe's. Hear me, brother. We want all. And when I stood up and said, wait, we need independent black-owned grocery stores. It was quiet as a church mouse. They told me to shut up. I was messing up the business, the money. They had it all worked out. They was going to have the large big box stores come in, the Targets and everything, and they were going to buy real estate and sell the real estate to the Walmart and Target, and they were going to develop business relationships with these people, and they was going to hire us. And I need to be quiet. They already had it worked out. We don't need no black nothing. That's, I'm just telling you how it went down. And this is middle class, well-to-do black people. It's not poor people.
Well, you know what?
So
of course, you know, most, you know, in where you're talking about that area, they depend on government for jobs. But, you know, you're talking about that particular class of black folks. They are a problem. because the talented, they the ones that's got the skills and they got the talents to create and operate them black owned this, that, and the other to compete against the very people that they're working for.
They don't have the consciousness, because to get that kind of money in America, in middle America, you've got to have a white woman, you've got to sell out. They don't give you that money unless you're thinking like them.
Or give you the opportunities.
Yeah, not only you. See, here's with us, if you're not competing, if you don't have your own, you don't need the best and the brightest. You don't need the cream of the crop to rise. Because unless for what? You ain't competing with nobody. The people who move up the ladder, who get positions, who are black, they have many, many tasks. But above all the tasks that they have to know how to keep the blacks in their place. Okay? They have to learn how to provide cover for these white institutions. You're not going to be superintendent. You're not going to be superintendent if you ain't providing cover, okay, against the white power structure. That's why you got Aramark and Sodexo making the money. Okay?
And that's where the talented 10th come in from the Garvey movement and that whole thing shutting them down with the Harlem Renaissance. And this is a continuation of the same mentality. The black elite colonizers for the colonizers.
Well, I tell you, if we ever had a revolution, the first people that would have to go would be somebody that looked like us.
You ain't lying.
Because that, you know, even here in St. Louis, when they had highway work that was coming along one highway, 55, coming north, went through downtown, and as it went west, it turned into 70. It was going west to Kansas City. That's when it started going through black communities. And the white contractors were not hiring black people. So you had an organization that had a meeting, several meetings, and then wasn't nothing to get done, so they said, we're going to shut this damn highway down. And they did. They shut down an interstate highway, both lanes. Then marched out on the highway, sat down and protested, holding up traffic. But the night before, the governor, Carnahan, who's dead now, he went to the clergy coalition and sent the preachers to the meeting and tried to talk the blacks out of doing it. So you're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. See, if you look at our history, they tell our in the history books that we get things because of civil rights, because we sat in. Okay, that's a damn lie. Black people didn't start getting a piece of the pie until we rioted. It was when blacks began to riot that they opened up government for us, that they opened up corporate America for us. Procter
and
Gamble, and
the boycotting, the refusal of spending any of our dollars in their community. That really woke their ass up.
Yeah, but when LBJ got the Kerner Commission together, why are black people rioting? Why are things? That's when they went to the white power structure and they told the law schools and the medical schools around the country, hey, you better put some black people in those seats. I don't care where you're at. If you're in St. Louis, go look at the Washington University. Go look at the medical school graduates prior to 1968. They're all white. They didn't let blacks in there until after the riots. All right? You go to Rutgers Law School in Camden prior to 68. All the law students were white. It wasn't until after black people rioted and demanded change that they said, well, we got to give them something. We got to open this up. Okay? You go look at Xerox and Procter & Gamble. They didn't hire us.
Well, you know that school out there in Los Angeles, the Charles Drew Medical School and High School? Blacks riot by two or three times, so they got that right. They riot first down, whites came in all.
Absolutely, because
go ahead.
You're right, Pianchi. After the Watts riot, when they rioted in the Watts, and they talked about the poor health care, that's how they got the L.A. County Commissioners set up Charles Drew Medical School because of the rioting that took place in 65. And we, what did we do to that? We turned around and let them shut it down, give it back to them.
And that's where I think we keep making a mistake. We keep making the same mistake of trying to get in on their thing.
They shut down Charles Drew Medical School. And you know what they opened up? They opened up a medical school for the Hispanics in Merced.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Am I right or wrong?
You're right.
And remember, for a lot of us that may not agree, the Hispanic or the Mexicans or whatever denomination they call themselves, they're white people. They're not anybody else.
Yeah, well, I can tell you.
That's how they get the support.
If you go through, I'm going to tell you, if you go through Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California, the Hispanic community, Mexican, well, I don't know who they are, they speak Spanish, okay? They have revived the community colleges in those states. Those communities.
Colorado on that.
Yes, Colorado as well. And now they're moving into the other satellite campuses, like University of Texas at San Antonio, University of Texas at El Paso. You know, not the main colleges, they're still predominantly white. But the other satellite campuses, all right, are largely overwhelmingly Hispanic. They're like historically Hispanic colleges now, okay? And they're moving. And I don't begrudge them. I'm not angry or nothing like that. I'm just saying, if they moving and it's 50 million of them, and there's another 30 million of them undocumented or illegal, I ask one question: What black folk gonna do? Black people are advocating that they have their Dream Act, and I say, okay, once their kids get their education, and they, in order to get citizenship, they got to have jobs. You just can't get an education, get a degree, and be a citizen. You have to be employed. Now, where are they going to find employment? The first thing that the Hispanics are going to demand is that government begin to hire them. And they're going to take the post workers, the post office. You're going to go there. I guarantee you it's going to like happen overnight, y'all. Y'all going to go to your post office, and they're going to be speaking Spanish up in there.
Black folks are going
to go to the county hospital.
Well, what we fail to realize is it's the same classic flooding of the market with immigrants that they've done in the 30s, that they did in the 1890s. They keep repeating the same game, and we keep falling for it.
Well,
I'm
going to
tell
you
something. When Mexicans run something, Mexicans are more racist than white folks because they're Catholics.
You're right, and I'm going to tell you something else. Whenever you had a meeting, you got black folks talking about blacks and other poor, you need to run that sucker out the room, man.
I know that's right.
That is something. And you know the reason why come they do that? Because they scared to walk it alone. They got to have somebody
that,
else.
And not only that, they want to sleep with them. They want somebody white on their arm.
I hear more of that old crazy stuff, blacks and Latinx, blacks and other poor. Well, hell, let the other poor vote for your ass then, goddammit.
And when they talk about
I hear that too. I was going to say, you know, I got upset with some of the members of the Nation of Islam, you know, not for pushing Scientology, but, you know, for pushing this poor white and, you know, what they become a poor whites and Native Americans and Hispanics and all. I said, wait a minute.
Wait, brother man. If you go and watch YouTube, you can find the Mexican Nation of Islam minister. It blew me away. They allowed him to be ministers in the Nation of Islam. And see, we're so ignorant of history, we don't even realize how the Mexicans kicked the niggas and basically stomped on them. They're still there in Mexico and in other Latin American countries, but they have basically decimated and destroyed a lot of the black communities that were indigenous to those Latin American countries.
Well, you know, I'm going to be truthful with you now. That's one of the reasons they had a Mexican War, because the Mexicans wouldn't allow slavery in Mexico. There was an underground railroad that went to Mexico, not only one to Canada, but there was one that went to Mexico. And the whites wanted their damn property back, and that was one of the things that was an issue in the Mexican-American War.
And I would add to that that Vicente Guerrero in 1822, he started in 1829 when they killed him, he instituted anti-slavery laws stronger than America because he was a black Indian. And he was the second president of Mexico. And you won't hear one Mexican mention not one nigger in Mexico.
But you know, another problem is too, brother. If you don't do for yourself, somebody else gonna come in and take that opportunity right from underneath your nose. And that's our problem. For some reason or another, we will not go ahead and put these things. Now, we tried coming out of slavery. I ain't gonna lie about that. We got all kind of instances. People like to mention the cities, the Wall Streets, and the Rosebud, and all those things. But you know, we were stymied and stopped then. But you got to keep on working toward that goal. If you don't take care of your own people, other people will not have no respect for you. They will walk over your butt.
This was a mistake of Vicente Guerrero, the second president of Mexico, who was a black Indian. I have his book on his autobiography or whatever. And what we don't understand in America is that Texas itself became a republic because of their refusal to be under Mexico with their slave laws. And also, we don't understand that the Mexican War against the Spanish was won by black people. It wasn't won by no Mexican. So Cinco de Mayo comes from niggas and the flag.
Interesting. Very, very interesting.
And we also had a whole community of blacks who relocated from Florida and moved into Mexico during that revolution.
What did they bring into Mexico?
What'd you say?
So what did they bring into Mexico? Did they bring information?
They brought the enrichment. They brought the troops. They brought all kinds of shit. But the problem with Vicente Guerrero, that was my point, the problem was being a mixed person. He was a little too soft on the Mexican Spaniards because they had the money.
Mm.
The revolution, he did the Toussaint Louverture move rather than the Dessalines move.
What was one of the key crops? Because Spain was also, there was also exports to Spain. Do you know what one of the key crops they were using? They were sending back to Spain?
From Mexico?
Yeah.
What?
I'm
hemp.
Hemp?
Yeah.
Yeah, hemp. And it was a couple of other products. I have to look it up, but I did see a couple of other products that they got from there. Oh, it was silver.
It was
the silver mines are in Mexico, and the jade mines.
The jade mines, right? Because I went
I went to
one little place. I didn't go to the mine, but I went to one little place that they had like one little town where like silver. Everything was coming from the silver mine. And it was everywhere. People had their teeth.
Everywhere.
You know, man, it was, man, one little town in Mexico, man, I can't remember where it was.
And that's throughout Mesoamerica that most of the silver is coming out of Mexico.
Say that again?
I said that's throughout most of Central America that most of the silver is coming out of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. I was in the state of Guerrero, you know, like named after Vicente Guerrero, the area he came from.
Right, right. And remember, when the Spaniards first got to Mexico, they confronted the Moors. They didn't confront no Mexican.
The Moors.
The Moors.
What were the Moors doing in Mexico at that time?
because the Moors, before they fell, was running the world market. They were getting the fruits and vegetables from Florida to Yucatan, and that's how they were flooding European markets and running their ass. And see, this is the other secret they don't tell you, that the Crusades were really fought in the Americas. They weren't fought just in the Middle East. And it wasn't until Peru and Mexico City fell from the black troops that were there that they were able to defeat the Moors in Spain. They were trying for centuries and couldn't, because they had the backup of those markets in Mexico and in Peru. So we don't even know our history over here. I'm reading a book now called Africans and Native Americans, and on the cover of that book are three African brothers that ain't mixed with shit. And these three African brothers, it was a father and two sons, they were actually the mayors and the rulers of an all-black independent country in Central America, or excuse me, in Peru.
Okay, so
they were never slaves. They were never enslaved, and they weren't slaves when the cracker got here. And they were already here.
So let me ask you this quickly. So in 1492, when Columbus set sail, were the Moors, did they still inhabit much of Spain, or had they been expelled from Spain by then?
In 1492, they started the expulsion of the Moors and the mulatto Jews. And they only were able to do that once they made headway against the black troops in Peru and Mexico.
And that was part of the Inquisition.
That was. And this is why you have such a high population of black people in Florida from the 1600s forward. You know, the Seminole Wars were a continuation of those same crusades. And in fact, at Negro Forks in Florida, the flag they flew was the Red Morris flag. And this was a safe haven for the Corsairs, the Buccaneers, and the Pirates, who had already been deposed from Spain, and they were basically robbing the European ships of the shit they stole from us in the first place.
So that's why the football team is called the Buccaneers.
Exactly. And the Corsairs, Buccaneers, and Pirates.
That's just not a name they just created. That has some historical significance.
Right. And those were the Barbary powers who were fighting back after they lost Spain. After they lost Spain.
Right.
But the problem we don't understand is they had a stronghold from the east coast of America through Florida all the way around to the Yucatan and California. So they had a stronghold on the east and the west coast of North and South America. This is why Venezuela's population is so high with black people.
So who was in charge of trade at that time?
At what time? 1492?
Yeah.
At 1492, that's when the colonial powers tipped the scale.
But what was the
it was black people from different countries who were associated under the Moors. They weren't all Moors, but that was the legal system they were under.
My thing is this: what was the biggest commodity at that time? What was selling? What was the hot thing at that time?
The hot thing at the fall of the Moors was books.
Was what?
Books. Because if you don't know that when they came to the Americas, they robbed American libraries. And said
so
they burnt them, just like they did where else they looted. They said they burnt the books, but they actually took them to the monastery, the Jesuit priesthood of the Catholic Church, stole all them books, including the codices of the Mayans.
So listen to what I'm saying. So they were traveling back and forth from the west coast of Africa and parts of Europe to the North America, Central South America, and they were trading just books. We weren't talking about
not just books. You said what was the most sought after commodity? It was books. Then you had oranges, you had jalapenos, you had lemons, you had name the crops. You had bananas, you had cotton. There's several items that they were selling, but books were the most expensive and most sought after things that they came after.
Okay. Interesting. So the books.
If you remember your history on Mali,
okay.
Ghana, the books were worth their weight in gold because of the scramble for Europe to get some knowledge because they were stupid as fuck.
So, okay, that's what I'm saying. So no books were being destroyed. They were mostly like gathering knowledge.
Right. And they stored the knowledge. See, this goes back to Alexandria with the annex building that wasn't a library. When they looted Egypt, they stored all the materials they stole, the written material, at the annex building in Alexandria. When they looted that library, they moved it all to the Hagia Sophia in Constantinople, Turkey. And from there, when the Byzantine Empire fell and Rome came to power, they moved it over to the Vatican starting in 1446, I think. And they completed the Vatican in 1486, and that's when they started toppling the Moors, once they got all of our libraries.
Okay. Something I saw a while back, and for me, I thought it was you know, I always thought it this had something to do with money. They were doing the slave trade. It wasn't really dollars that was being exchanged for those humans. What was the biggest thing that they were going to exchange it for another human?
Well, according to the book I'm reading, Africans and Native Americans, they would trade three Native Americans for one African.
Wow.
So it's people. People to run their plantations and people to do the mining and do all the work.
Okay, so and that was that book. So what was something else they were using? Would they use bags of sand, bags of salt?
Oh, to trade with?
Yeah.
No, they were trading liquor.
Liquor?
Yeah. Liquor and sugar, the stuff they grew off the plantation. The commodities that, as they set up their plantations, they would barter those, they would trade those commodities for more slaves.
So that when did gold and silver come into play? Was that used at some point? That wasn't used early on.
That was used in some part because that was the standard of the market. So they went after the gold and silver too initially. But they had to have slaves to do the mining. So it was a gradual process of creating a slave economy so that they can mine the silver and take the grown, the food commodities and trade those, including the liquor.
So the liquor part, I'm stuck on that real quick. So a case would be equal to a 7-year-old or something?
No, a keg of molasses. You know, you've heard that story. They sell your uncle for a keg of molasses.
Really?
Yeah, a slave for a keg of molasses. And remember, during the slave trade, the African was the most expensive slave to buy. That's why they would trade three Indians for Africans. And the other part we don't understand is that many of the Native Americans were depopulated from North America and South America before the African was imported. What they don't tell you is that a lot of those Native Americans were already black people. And they ended up in Seville, in Italy, in North Africa, in the Barbary State, and they also ended up in West Africa all the way down to Angola. And they're still there. But you can't tell them apart because they were already black.
One barrel of molasses, huh?
One keg of molasses.
One keg. I saw something.
And that wasn't the only commodity, but that was a major one that they recorded.
That was a major one. What about? I saw something where they were using like iron bars.
That too, but you know, the iron bars were produced by the West African country.
Mm-hmm.
So it did play a role, but the primary goal was to get the African slave because of the knowledge base the African had on, and he knew how to farm, he knew how to do everything. We were smelting metal in West Africa for at least 3,000 years. In fact, we were the world standard for iron smelting at that time. And in fact, the metallurgists of Spain were actually Sudanese metallurgists. And this is the other part of history that people confuse. The Moors did not attack West Africa and topple Ghana, Sinai, and Mali. That was from Arabs that they tried to retrograde as Moors. They were the Saud tribe, or the Saud dynasty. And they had made a stronghold in Morocco, and it was them white Arabs that went and toppled all them, or actually caused disruption in all of those three major civilizations of West Africa. The African Moors, other than the troops, because in 711 they used African troops to take over Spain, but they didn't build nothing in Spain until the 10th century, the 11th century. And at that time, they imported Malayan blacks and what you call them Western Sudanese at that time and Eastern Sudanese from Sudan. That's who built all that shit in Spain. But they lie. They lie so much it don't make no sense.
Well, still lying today.
Right, and it wasn't no Islam.
You know, so one of the biggest things that we have to do is go ahead and sift through the lies. Because I think that go ahead and helps create a stronger people.
It does. And the first thing that black Americans need to understand is we've been in the Americas before the clock even knew about it.
Yeah, but it feeds into going ahead and keeping us as the eternal consumers is, you know, destroy our beginning. So, you know, that's one reason that we...
And remember, that's the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church don't never want no niggas in America to ever know that we ruled their ass for 1,000 years.
Shit, Negroes, hell, Negroes don't want you to know that.
Who you telling? I know, Pianca, you're right. That's that talented tip we fighting against. Because if you notice, any upwardly mobile black folks, and I would say not all of them, because I don't think you're that way, Pianca, with the wealth you were mad. But I think most upwardly mobile black folks have been trained right out of their consciousness. You can't get that rich and be...
You've been trained right out of their consciousness? How do you get trained right out of your consciousness?
Because you end up valuing everything that's white, and you do the minion work for them. You become little minions for them. Isn't that what we're going through? That sure is what happened in the Harlem Renaissance when they tried to kill the Garvey movement. And quiet as it's kept, people always say Garvey was the Back to Africa movement. That's not what he was about. He was about setting up business relationships with African countries. He didn't tell everybody to get up and leave.
Yeah, he, matter of fact, he said that himself. He said Africa wasn't for everybody. You're all black folks.
Right.
And it makes sense. Nick, black folks are going to stay here because they are a market. Why would you take that market from here someplace else where they don't have no way to create a market? That ain't for everybody. Just to go up and go and find a remote place and all of a sudden stake your ground and start. They just don't know how to do that. So
man,
what
this
you
is
want?
The other trick. This is the other trick. It was only 15% of our population that were imported from Africa. All the rest of them niggas was already here, and we got put on riverboats, not ships across the sea.
Let me ask you a question. Today, there's a group call themselves the Conscious Community. What does the Conscious Community have to do to move ahead with an economic program?
Dang,
I mean, why hasn't it? I'm going to ask my question for you, Pianca. There are a lot of us out here who are conscious, who know what's what. But
they don't know how to do it, man. They don't know how to do it. See, that's the thing, another thing, too. People come up with all kind of ideas. That don't mean they're capable of carrying these things out. In the conscious community, and I ain't down in the conscious community, but, you know, somebody said, too, that after the riots and stuff, that's when they start opening up schools and stuff. But the people that participated in the riots weren't the ones that was offered them spots in them schools. It was the ones who laid back.
Exactly. And the other thing I would add is that the conscious community ain't all that conscious. And the reason I say that is because if you investigate Africana Studies in America, which is what it used to be called, that was actually created by some Jews. One of them's name was Cohen. And Dr. Clark knew about them. Jeffries knows about them. And all the big scholars know about these Jews that created the framework of Africana Studies in North and South America. So
a lot of
the question is, they're trying to convince us that we don't belong here and that we're some imported slave from somewhere else. But if that were the case, they would have exported us back to where they got us from when they were done with it.
A lot of the stuff that you use for Black History Month was not created by black people. It was created by somebody else. That's why they coming up now and finding a lot of this stuff ain't true.
Right, and what you'll find is 90% of African-American history ain't true because we didn't get stolen from Africa like they said. They did import some Africans, but less than 1% of all Africans stolen out of Africa made it to North America. So where the rest of these niggas come from?
Let me add this very quickly. Black studies programs Black studies programs of the 1960s, starting with, I believe, 68, 69 at San Francisco State University was the first one. But all these programs were funded and founded by the Ford Foundation.
Right.
They get all. And then they get all their. Go ahead.
What they tell us is that Nathaniel Hare was responsible for a lot of the black studies programs in the colleges. And he was to an extent, but the whole backing of Africana studies was by a Jew named Cohen. And that started in the 50s.
What's his name? What's his first name?
I have to look it up. I can't remember. I can remember his last name.
But if I type Africana studies Cohen, something to come up. If I Google that,
yeah, I'm sure it will, because I've done that before. Yes.
All right.
And it's not just him. It's him and this other Jew.
So what was the curriculum?
He's the main one.
What was the beginning? What did you put out first?
What did he put out first?
Yeah.
He put out a paper, and he put out a framework for the curriculum.
Okay, what was the framework?
The framework is what we got now, that we were stolen from Africa. All of us are descendants of slaves, and blah, blah, blah. And see, this is the other part. In South American countries and in some Latin American countries, the slave population was 10 to 15%, and the free people of color populations were 85%, 80%. They don't teach us that. So the question comes in, well, where all them niggas come from? That's the question they don't want you to ask. Because then the fight would be stronger because we would have an ancestral tie to this land, even though we know a lot of our relatives and family bloodlines were buried here. That's one reason why we shouldn't leave. And you don't just have an Olmec population, an Anasazi population, a Fremont Indian population, a Hopewell population, Eastern Woodland, Western Woodland forest population. You don't have all these black populations that just pop up out of nowhere. They've been here.
So those groups now, they did a sort of an integration thing?
Right. They were actually all lumped under Negro.
No, see, what I'm saying is they did an integration thing, so that's why you see them identified today as those specific groups.
Well, it's a forced integration. It wasn't a voluntary necessarily that we all went for that. Because it wasn't until, the late 70s that they really killed the black Indian thing. It started to revive itself again. But they had people fighting from colonial times up until the 70s for their black identity as American Indians. And not under those titles, but that was the political title of the day.
The so-called red man is in between because he got the white.
Right, and the red man, right, and the red man was actually cahooting and fraternizing with the white colonists that came here. And that's why they say, if you look at the Native American writings, they say, we were not defeated by our enemy. We were betrayed by our friends. They said that they did themselves. And what happened was, a lot of the sacrifices of humans that they always accused the Aztecs and the other ancient tribes of were actually the black people sacrificing the red people. So they were mad. And they was like, come get us, come save us from these niggas. We'll tell you how to get in. And that's exactly what they did, and that's exactly why they hold the racist positions they still hold. That's why they kicked the niggas out of the Cherokee. That's why they kicked the niggas out of the Choctaw. Because they can't afford to let that secret out, that they are not original to America. And I think if we connect our history correctly, we would liberate not only America, North and South, but we'd liberate Africa, because we'd be standing on ancestral authority. And not trying to be a Nigerian when we ain't never seen Nigeria. And that's not hating on the Nigerians. They're still our brothers and sisters. But they're our brothers and sisters from thousands of years ago, not hundreds.
No, not hundreds? So these DNA tests lies?
Well, the DNA test can't tell you shit, but all the when you do white folks technology, they try to line it up with the lies they already told. So that's problematic right there. If I have a gene that matches a Fulani in Ghana or in Nigeria, that doesn't tell you that they took slaves from Fulani people and brought them to America. It doesn't tell you if we didn't go over there to West Africa. So the DNA test doesn't tell you shit. All it tells you is that, yep, they're related. That's all it can tell you. It can't tell you which way they went.
Okay, well, it tells you where
they
had the
win. They can't tell you when.
They can tell you where the majority of it was. So that doesn't say where you came from?
Not necessarily, because you have the tribes of the Fulani, the Igbo, and all the common African tribes that you know of. You have those gene pools in the Americas before slavery. So how the hell they going to tell you where you came from?
So then there should be a little bit more testing of that. Look for that. I need to look for that.
How can you test that with the criteria of history, with the criteria of white history? You can't. It's made up. And in fact, I was going to do the DNA test to find out my tribe until I read the disclaimer by the very black guy who started this thing in the black community, at least, where they were going to the churches and doing it. And he said that these tests are inconclusive and these tests do not really tell you exactly where you're from or who came from where. I was done right there. I'm like, oh, well, fuck. What, why would I do that?
Well, they said they're going up percentages. You know, a large percentage of your gene pool came from that. So at one point, you know,
does it tell you where the gene pool started? It doesn't tell you that.
It doesn't tell you where it started? So go ahead and have a majority of one. I kind of get your point. But
How can they tell you that Nigerians weren't in America 2,000 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
That's my point. They can't tell you which direction they flow.
The only way,
I'm going to tell you why it appears to be that way. Because they keep opening the floodgates of all these damn immigrants. So we get watered down.
Mm.
And this is the bigger question. Why are we the single largest so-called racial group in America, even beyond the Hispanic?
Tell me.
We're the single largest racial group because we're the original racial group here.
Right, so.
And many of the black Indians opted to be called black because they did not want to go on a reservation. So they would put us up in the corner and give us a choice between the lesser of two evils. And that's how we got God.
Interesting.
And it ain't even that deep if we know the flow of our own history.
Knowing the flow.
Right. And I know that I get confirmation even from the cracker on the shit I'm talking about. Less than 2 years ago, I went on the internet and saw an article by CNN of the Catholic Jesuit priest's papers that said when they first had contact with the Aztecs, they called them Moors, and they destroyed a mosque in the Yucatan.
Mm-hmm.
When they first got here, and they tore down a whole bunch of pyramids. They admitted it themselves. Then I watched the movie, The Celestine Prophecy. It's also in the book. And these two crackers was riding toward one of these Jesuit priest strongholds that was there from the early 1400s.